Welcome to the weekend edition of the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. Today's podcast features all the best segments from this week's slate of Undisputed. With in-depth interviews and discussions, we have a lot to talk about heading into next week. Skip, Shannon, let's get to it.
Well, Earl Thomas is leaving Seattle for Baltimore. Thomas signed a four-year, $55 million deal with $32 million guaranteed. Thomas only played in four games last season because of a broken leg, but the six-time Pro Bowler still got a huge contract. The Cowboys had been rumored to have interest in Earl since last season, but the money was reportedly too steep. So, Skip,
so
how
Jenny,
disappointed were you when you heard this news?
I can actually demonstrate just how disappointed I was. If we could see a picture I posted yesterday afternoon on Instagram that was taken by my wife, Ernestine, just a little bit after I read the news that Earl Thomas would not be signing with my Dallas Cowboys, as I had badly wanted for about a year.
I know.
And that sums up that picture, my emotions of the moment, because I was just spent. I was just emotionally worn out from the Earl Thomas saga. And the only silver lining was it's finally over. Because just to reiterate, it started actually on Christmas Eve of 2017. Seattle at Dallas. Do you remember this game? Another nightmare game for me and Dak Prescott. 21-12 Seattle. Featuring two big drops by Dez Bryant.
And, don't do that, Skip.
And a late, there was a late first and goal at the three that ended in a Dan Bailey field goal miss. Remember that?
Doink.
Okay. But it ended with another silver lining.
Okay.
Earl Thomas ran up the runway toward the locker rooms and caught up with Jason Garrett, my coach Clapp. And he said, Jason, come and get me. And the owner, Jerry Jones, tried to go get Earl Thomas early last season. Remember, he held out through training camp?
Yep.
And Jerry, I think, did his damnedest to get Earl Thomas and thought he had a deal done for a second-round pick. Do you remember this?
I remember.
And it seemed like Jerry was gung-ho ready to give Earl his money at that moment. If you're going to spend a two on him, wouldn't you probably give him his contract?
Yeah, you got to.
You'd have to.
Okay.
And I think the rug got jerked out from under Jerry Jones. April Fool's, Jerry, said Seattle. Now we want a one. And Jerry said, hell with you. I don't play that one, right? And that was the end of that. And then all of a sudden, late September last year, my Cowboys go up to Seattle and have to play against Earl Thomas, and he takes it out on Jerry Jones. He intercepts two passes. And what does he do? He bows to the Cowboy bench each time, just rubbing it in. And I'm still thinking, we still got to go get this guy. Unfortunately, he suffers another broken leg just the next week against Arizona.
Yep.
And that's the end of him for the season. But then I'm thinking, off season, we got a chance. We don't even have to trade for him. Just give him his money. Okay, remember, Earl Thomas grew up in Orange, Texas. He wore the burnt orange for the University of Texas. He has had a lifelong dream to play for America's team in Dallas, Texas. And I'm thinking, well, at least he'll take a little home state discount, just a little bit, to play, just to live out his dream for Jerry Jones and the Cowboys. And instead, he takes the Shannon Sharp route. You know what you did? You went from Denver to Baltimore, right? And Earl Thomas, he sells me out. He gets a big deal. What was
big
it?
Deal.
Four
Real
years, big. 55 million, 32 million guaranteed.
No.
14.33.
No. See, that's not important.
What do you mean?
Guaranteed is not important.
Okay.
I need you to put L-U-L-L-Y. 32 million fully guaranteed.
Oh, fully guaranteed.
That's what I need to see.
14.33 per football season. And I'm saying, well, you know how we responded yesterday? We signed our backup, re-signed, I should say, our backup tackle, Cameron Fleming.
Yeah, big deal. Good deal.
How about we re-signed our fullback, Olawale. We re-signed him yesterday. That's how we responded to losing Earl Thomas.
Hold on, Skip. That's not the one that dropped that pass in Indy, is it?
It was.
That ain't Olawale.
Dropped it right on the goal line.
Olawale.
And that set up losing 23-0 to Andrew Luck, right? It was devastating. So it looks like I am stuck with Jeff Heath and Xavier Woods at safety, and they're not bad. They're pretty good, but they're not Earl Thomas, right?
They're
now
not
a Raven. And so I guess I could be in really poor taste and wish him well by saying break a leg in Baltimore.
Don't do this,
I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do that. I can't do that. I wish him nothing but the best in Baltimore. And the only The only reason I'm somewhat relieved today is it's over. After, what's that, like a year and a half now?
Time.
It's over. It has. He's a Raven.
Stop smiling.
Yeah.
I like it.
You got this. You got this.
Skip, I've been trying to prepare you for this moment. That's what friends do. When they know heartbreak is on the horizon. Really good friends, which I consider myself to you. Mm-hmm. I tried to prepare you. I put my arms around you. Yeah. I'm like, Skip, y'all.
I don't remember the arms.
I don't either.
That's just a metaphor. Yeah, a figure of speech.
Yeah, okay.
But like, he bigger than a tree. Clearly no one's bigger than a tree, but you know what I'm saying, Jenny. I put my arm around you. I say, Skip, y'all not getting Earl. This is me. We having this conversation. I'm like, Skip, y'all not getting Earl.
That was wishful thinking on your part as it was wishful thinking on my part.
I said, he knows the likelihood of him getting another big contract is minimal. He's going to take the most money. Let me take that back. He's going to take the most guaranteed, fully guaranteed money. Jerry Jones is not going to shell out that kind of money because do you know the kind of message it will send in his locker room? When you got DeMarcus Lawrence, who's been an All-Pro and a two-time Pro Bowl, that's helped you win games, and you're going to bring a guy from the outside and give him what you won't give me?
Okay, but you just agreed with me. If that deal had gone down early last season for a second-round pick, they were ready to give him somewhere in this ballpark.
Well, you know what, Skip? I like John Schneider and Pete Carroll. You didn't know they were magicians? Snatched the rug right off of under Jerry.
They played him.
And Jerry
you
was
don't
still
play
standing.
Jerry.
And Jerry was still standing. You know, you see the magician, how they have a table, what they call it? Play setting.
Yeah.
All over the table. And he come up there, he snatched it off and don't nothing move.
Nothing
they did, Jerry. Nothing they snatched that Earl Thomas blanket out from under him and Jerry still standing. They didn't even know what happened.
And you can stick a fork in me.
Yeah, I love it.
Seriously, look, that picture was sad.
Baltimore is used to having, now, Earl, I believe Ed Reed is the greatest safety I ever played against. He's the greatest safety that I ever saw on tape. Earl Thomas is not Ed Reed, but he might be the closest thing that someone have seen to Ed Reed.
Yep.
Because, and the difference between, and Eric Weddle is a good player. I believe Earl Thomas is a great player. They're totally different players. Weddle is a box safety, play close to the line of scrimmage. He'll blitz. Earl is a true whole safety.
He is. By the way, just a quick point of order. Our man, Rod Woodson, that we have on occasionally, he's in that discussion.
But I still look at Rod as a corner.
Okay.
Because he spent the bulk of his,
But he did some great things.
Oh, he was unbelievable. Yeah, his hands. Rod really could have.
Range?
Yes.
Yeah, he ran
429.
429. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, he was an All-American hurdler at Purdue.
Yeah.
He's a playmaking safety.
Yep.
He can take the ball away and bring it back the other way. And that's what the Ravens fans are used to. They had 11, 12 years of Ed Reed doing those exact things.
They did.
Now, he's not quite that level, Skip, but he was the best. He's the best free safety, no question. But I believe healthy, and I believe he'll be healthy this year. He's the best safety in all football. Landon Collins can't do what he does.
Heck no.
Now, Tyrann Mathieu might be close because the simple fact is he can play both safety positions and he can play the nickel slot.
But he's even smaller than Earl.
Yes. But, Skip, I'll tell you what y'all can do. George Aloka's available. Jonathan Cyprian. Adrian Phillips is coming up.
Rub it in.
Or Eric Berry. Eric Berry's available. Good guy. Good safety. Hard hitting. Y'all go get one. Or you can draft one. That's your choices now. Because Earl is in B-mode. Ravens.
Any of those names jump out to you?
You know what? I'll just stick with my two guys. Two guys are not bad.
You heard what he said?
We did win a playoff game with those two guys at safety.
And that's what they are. Yep. Jags.
They're Jags. Just another guy. No. They probably are, but they're decent Jags. Seriously.
I thought you didn't like Jeff Heath.
No, I think he's pretty good. I've told you that from the start.
He
tries hard.
Yeah.
Xavier Woods, he can lay the wood on you, man.
Skip.
I don't know.
Skip. What that secondary needs is playmaker.
I agree. They need a guy who's like a made man. You just say, they got Earl Thomas.
Yeah, Earl Thomas. Like, that old Mac makeup. You know, that old good stuff, Jenny. You know, you got a blemish in your secondary. Earl Thomas will cover that thing on up for you. Cover it right on up. Because I've seen a lot of Cowboys.
I'm sure Jenny loved that analogy.
But she know what you don't know anything about makeup. But Jenny and I know about the Mac.
I know a lot about
that. You don't know anything about no makeup. You don't know anything.
You
don't do no makeup. You do a drive-by, they just have a little project, take the shine off, and then you up out of there.
Okay.
Are you admitting to be wearing a little makeup?
Are you an expert on makeup?
Anti-shine.
You're an expert on models. I know that.
Yeah.
Like, you know the top 10.
You have too much time on your hands.
But anyway, Skip Bayless, you had your opportunities. Mm-hmm. You didn't take advantage of it. Mm-hmm. So now sit back, watch y'all team miss the playoffs.
Yes.
Like I said, that I prepared you for this. I'm preparing you for you to miss the playoffs.
Yep.
So it should be less of a blow. Mm. Why is it not less of a blow if I have prepared you for something for over a year?
We even lost Cole Beasley. We lost him.
Oh!
We just lost him.
And Cole took a shot at y'all. Somebody said he went to, Cole's like, I'm going to Buffalo. They're like, you're not going to win. Cole said, I spent 7 years in Dallas and I ain't win either. I didn't get him, Cole. Cole Beasley, right? He's out with there for 7 years and we ain't win jack.
Well, they won 2 jack playoff games.
That ain't nothing.
Well, that's something.
That ain't nothing.
Yeah.
Dude.
Better than he's going to win in Buffalo.
Whoa, I won't skip.
Do you think Cole Beasley, before he's finished in Buffalo, will win 2 playoff games?
Whoa.
He will not.
Whoa, hold on. Time out. I need to know where that parade route is for winning 2 playoff games.
Yeah.
Where is that?
Well, I need to know where the plan B is even for Cole Beasley. I don't know.
Oh, I thought y'all was going to get Humphreys.
I kept telling you. I said, he's there. I like him. I like him as much as I like Cole Beasley. And Tennessee said, thank you very much, and snapped him up.
Skip, will you stop thinking that teams, that players are going to give the Cowboys?
They love Dallas. Everybody wants to wear the star on the side.
Why would I give you a discount if I'm going to miss the playoffs or only going to get to the playoffs? This is not New England. I give New England a discount because I know there's a greater chance that I'm going to end up in the Super Bowl than not. I'm not giving Dallas no discount for what?
Last year they won 1 playoff game. Next year they'll win 2. Then maybe it'll be the next year they'll win 4.
I thought you told me that's not how it works.
What do you mean?
I tried to tell you that's how you take steps like that. You're like, oh, so that's what? Because remember I told you, I said the Cowboys, they won the playoffs. They went, they won the division 2014, mm-hmm. missed in 2015. Won in 2016, missed in 2017. Mm. Won in 2018, missed in 2019. Oh, you think that's how it works, Shannon?
It's it's historically decreed by the football gods that they're going to miss the playoffs.
Oh, so is it decreed that you won 1 playoff game this year?
That's how it happens. You've been there. You've seen that happen.
That's how it happens.
Stair-step right into the Super
Bowl. That's how it happens.
Maybe you arrive a year earlier.
Okay.
Like the 92 Cowboys arrived at least a year ahead of schedule.
Okay, well, this is how it happened.
Okay.
Win the division, miss the playoffs. Win the division, miss the playoffs. Mm. See the steps y'all take? You take 1 step up, you take 1 step down.
Or 2 steps down.
Yeah!
Right?
I love this, Skip.
I gotta say, I'm happy for Earl Thomas because he does fit in Baltimore because of the legacy.
Yeah!
It feels like the next Ed Reed, even though he's not quite.
I hate that Sizzle is going to finish up because I believe those guys the Ray Lewis and the Jonathan Ogden Ed Reed
should finish.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, but I mean, I guess $7-8 million and to go back home.
And plus to get to play with Kyler Murray. Whew.
Really, Skip.
It's been
really,
a long year for you though, talking about this guy. I'm sorry, Skip.
I mean, how many games
do you think they're gonna win?
Arizona.
Yeah.
I need to see who else they draft and add. I don't know. He'll start from the start. You know he will.
It's exciting. It's must-watch TV.
Then everything is must-watch TV. That's all you do is watch TV.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
I have a lot of activities.
Whatever.
Very busy. Very busy. No mercy. Antonio Brown was introduced yesterday as a Raider. AB was traded to Oakland for a 3rd and 5th round pick. And he got a new deal with $30 million guaranteed. He even went to his new quarterback, Derek Carr's house, and the two hugged it out several times. Let's take a listen to AB on why he wanted to come to Oakland.
Mr. Gruden played everything in my decision with coming here. Obviously, he's an offensive guru. You get excited just talking with him. He got so much knowledge of the game. He's coached some of the greatest players ever. So he knows what it takes. You know, he's done been around the game from in the game, outside the game, and his knowledge is so amazing. He did his homework on me. He done seen every play I've played in, every interception. He got the details. He's a highly professional guy. I know Steeler Nation is having a bad day today, but it's always love. Encourage every kid who watched me work and inspired by everything I've done. You know, hoping I continue to be a good example. Continue to be a good role model and continue to inspire people all over.
Shannon, what do you make of what you heard and saw from AB there?
That's how you get some, Skip. that soft-spoken voice, hopefully I can continue to inspire
people Ooh, I
to
like
be
that.
A role model.
That is true.
That's well done.
Look, I take everything he say with a grain of salt.
Okay.
One aspect of the role model is absolutely true. You look at a guy that came from a very impoverished city in Florida, Liberty's. I think he's from Liberty City.
Yeah, he is.
Goes to, Eastern Michigan, Central Michigan,
Central Michigan.
And was a sixth round draft pick of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And for 9 years was on a Hall of Fame arc. Had caught more passes, six straight 100-catch seasons. Average 100 catches, 1,200 yards, 8 touchdowns during that span. But when you talk about a role model, role models don't quit on the team in week 17. Role models do not behave like he's behaved in the last 4 to 5 years in Pittsburgh. So there are aspects that you would definitely want your kid to aspire to be when it comes to Antonio Brown, but there's a hell lot more that you would want no parts of your child being behaving like this. Skip, this is what he said now. In 2017, when the Steelers gave him that big extension, I think he got like $18, $19 million guaranteed. I can be more of a better leader being vocal. We can all be better because they ask him about the Facebook Live post in the locker room. I don't come into the year thinking about numbers and such. I just want to be accountable to being my best self. Accountable to his best self. Oh, okay. He wants to be accountable by quitting on his team. Now, Skip, I get it. If you nicked up, this is what normally happens. I don't know if it still goes this way. If you're nicked up, normally they have you come in and you get treatment. And the athletic trainer, well, how do you feel today? If there were a game today, Shannon, could you play? It'd be close, Greek. It'd be close. I might need a little help, but I definitely would give it a go. Okay, come in on Thursday. Shannon, how you feel? Greek, I'm getting a little better today. Steve Antonopoulos with our athletic trainer, we call it Friday. Saturday, Greek, I'll be good to go. But I've been there going through, talking to him. I don't leave on a Monday talking about I'm a little nicked up and then have my agent call and say I'm good to go on Saturday. Where did they do that at? No, AB, come on. Like I said, and then I don't know who idea was, Skip. Was it him or the Raiders? For me, Skip, I'm a guy that likes to function in anonymity. If I'm going to go meet Derek Carr, I don't need cameras. And John, if it's not the Raiders, John Gruden's like, oh, wait a minute. He might not even be our quarterback. What you hugging him for?
That is a fact.
It's just too much. I just believe that everything that he was doing, he could have done that in anonymity. Look, pick up the phone. Hey, Derek, what you doing, bro? I think we need to get together. Okay, run some routes. This is how I like it. Derek said, well, I like to put the ball here. You go through all that. But Skip, this is the honeymoon period. He said these very same thing when the Steelers gave him that $18, $19 million in 2017. So coming into last year, he had all that money. Said all that. He going to be a leader. He going to be accountable. And now he's in Oakland. For what? Because he's accountable? Because he said one thing at the very end. He said, I'm going to be accountable to myself. Damn my teammates. What is the best for AB? What's best for Mr. Big Chest?
Mr. Big Chest. I'm going to go you one or two or three or four better. For me, this entire press conference was straight Saturday Night Live skit. I had at least three literal laugh out louds at what I read. I didn't watch it first. Okay. I read it first.
Okay.
And Mr. Gruden? Mr. Gruden? Let's see how long that lasts.
Exactly.
Mr. Gruden.
Yeah.
Listen, Mr. Gruden will get in your face.
Yes, he
and
will.
And it was funny because he did say, Antonio, that I love Mr. Gruden. He's an offensive guru, but he doesn't just tell you how good you are. He tells you to focus on things that can make you even better. Translation, he's going to get on your behind and stay on your behind, and Antonio is not going to always love that.
No.
Trust me on that. Then he said, I want to be more of a professional now. He's 31 years of age.
Oh,
after
now.
9 years. After
now
nine
you
want
to be a pro.
The league. So he decided to undo the blonde mustache, and he went back to the black one. Okay, fine. And he didn't show up in a helicopter or like a Bentley convertible.
He showed up 25 minutes late.
Okay, and he was late. Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. 25 minutes late. And speaking of late, he said, because I want to be more of a professional, I'm going to be the leader of the receivers, and to your point, hold the receivers accountable. By fining each other, we want to fine each other for drop passes, missed routes, or for being late. What was he notorious for in Pittsburgh?
Late. Even if he chose to come at all.
Did he have the press conference time wrong? I mean, that's a horrible way to start.
What are you doing? I don't know. I don't know. Is this not laughably ironic, you know? Like,
yes.
Like, what are you doing?
And all that sounds good, Skip.
And then to your point about I want to be continue to be a great role model, and you talked about all the on the field, in the locker room, Pittsburgh Steelers stuff. Off the field, I don't want to pile on, but he's had some incidents. The one just within the last few months where he got mad and threw items off his balcony high rise that were falling many stories down. You know how dangerous that is.
Very.
And the guardian of some 2-year-old at the pool sued him because it endangered the 2-year-old.
Right.
Well, is that role model stuff?
No.
I mean, I can go on and on about other incidents off the field. Stop it. And then my biggest belly laugh came from, he said, my goal is to catch Jerry Rice. His goal wasn't to win a Super Bowl for the Oakland Raiders, but to catch Jerry Rice.
Hold on, Skip. Hold on.
Whoa.
I never come into a year thinking about my numbers and such.
Oh!
Wait.
Oh! Wait.
It don't make sense.
Wait. You know, if LeBron says his goal is to catch Kareem, I'm like, well, you got a shot. It's a long shot, but you got a chance.
Right.
And you think he's going to do it, and I give him a shot.
Right.
But at least he's in the ballpark. He's in the universe with Kareem. Listen, Jerry Rice has twice as many receptions and touchdowns as Antonio does now.
Well, if he stays on the historic
I got
it. Catches.
Okay.
But yardage and touchdowns, nobody's catching Jerry, Skip.
Okay, just on yards. Let's do yards. It's 22,895. It's 27. I'm sorry, I can't read my writing. 27,895 to 11,207.
Okay.
You would have to do, and Jerry played 20 years.
20 years.
So if you could play your 10 or 11 more years and stay on this pace.
Yeah.
You might come close, you might, but if that's your publicized goal at your intro press conference, it's a bad sign.
Yeah,
it's,
what about
it's
the
like,
winning?
I want my number, I need big numbers.
What about the winning? What about the winning? You hear a whole lot about winning? I'm here to win championships. You know, I was, when I was the break, I was close. I think I was like the break Ozzy's record. I was like 115. I didn't mention it.
Yeah.
I did mention it, but you know what I said first, Skip? I said, I'm here to win. I said, I'm here to win a championship, and I said, I can't think of a better place to be than
you,
have.
You already brought two with you.
Right.
Okay.
And nobody was going to ever say, well, he's a bad leader. Well, he was bad in the locker room. Skip, I get the fine system, but it worked because I didn't look at myself as above Ed, above Rod, or above the guys because I was more accomplished. If I dropped the pass, Sharp, you got to pay for that. And they might charge me double because they say, bro, you going to the Hall of Fame. You got to make that catch. So I looked at myself.
Mm-hmm.
They treated me as if I was one of them, not better than them.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, you doing all this talk. And I get it, Skip. You know, he like you said, he tried to be more polished. He did away with the blonde mustache. Mm-hmm. He cut the dreads off, got a little haircut. He's 25 minutes late. And then here he is talking about all self.
Hmm.
Okay. We'll see. Honeymoon, you know, honeymoon. Ooh, everything. We going to Tahiti. You in the Maldives. You know what I'm saying, Jenny? We up one of them little yachts. I was just looking the other day. I was looking at one of them little huts. They got in the Maldives, Skip. They go out in the water. And I'm like, ooh, look at that.
To one of those.
They bring your fruit down and all that.
Sounds great.
I'm like, ooh, what I think. Man, if you just imagine if you got married and went down the honeymoon. Boy, you're like, ooh, Bill, I'm in heaven. I have found Mr. Right.
And then what happens?
And as soon as you get home, and there ain't no water, and it's not blissful, you just like the rest of them. You won't pick up your clothes. You don't help me with these kids. You ain't cleaning nothing. We're going to find out.
And that alarm clock goes off.
Yeah. You're like, oh, yeah, exactly.
Where am I?
That's the thing.
Because
they're like, oh, look, I wake up at 3 a.m. Mm-hmm. Oh, that ain't no problem. And the first time the alarm clock go off at 3 a.m., don't cut the lights on. Well, how the hell am I supposed to see how to get up out of here if I can't cut no lights on? John Gruden, you about to find out.
They're just smiling at each other.
Yeah.
Fresh relationship.
I am Mr. Gruden.
Mr. Gruden, he's just looking on with a smile.
Okay. And that's the thing. See, people look at, if you don't know John, see, people have this idea because most people know him, Skip, from the ESPN gig.
So it's a little different, right?
Well, he held a play for.
Yeah.
He's not an easy coach to play for.
I know for a fact.
You know that.
And by the way, John Gruden wore a coat and tie to this.
That's
been a long time since I've seen him in that.
Yeah, and
he still
got that Mark Davis haircut.
And he's got
that old great Clips haircut.
He always had that.
$100 million, he got a $14.95 haircut.
Mm. So I hope the honeymoon period continues a little bit longer than that trip.
That's what the Rooney thought.
Yeah, that's what we all hope. Either way, we got to switch gears. We know Lamar Jackson. Guys, he's fast on the field, but apparently just a little too fast off the field. We'll explain everything next.
No mercy.
Le'Veon Bell is a New York Jet. The former Steeler agreed to a four-year deal with the Jets for just over $52 million with $35 million guaranteed. Bell sat out all of last season because of a contract dispute with the Steelers, and he will actually make less per year than he was slated to make under the franchise tag with Pittsburgh. We are joined by our new Vox Football analyst, Reggie Bush.
Good to have you with us. Welcome to the team.
Yes. And congratulations.
Thank you. We're so glad to have you.
Yeah.
I'm happy to be here.
It's going to be a fun football season. But first, we've got to talk about the NFL, and we'll get college stuff later. So, Reggie, did Le'Veon win or lose in this deal?
Ooh, that's a great question. I think he won because he got $35 million guaranteed as a 27-year-old running back.
Okay. Mm.
And what position on the football field ages faster than running backs,
you would know.
I would know, right? And I don't know where this kind of narrative started, but it's like, when you get past 25 and you start getting close to 26, 27, and you've had a lot of carries, and maybe you get injured once or twice, things like injury prone, he lost a step, he's getting older. Those things start to follow you.
Can you remember what hit me at 29?
So it was my second year in Detroit. I was 29 years old. This was 5 years ago. And so my first year in Detroit, me and Joique Bell, we set a record for most yards and touchdowns by a running back tandem.
Okay.
And so the next year, I got injured. I had a high ankle sprain, and it kind of nagged throughout the season. I didn't really get healthy towards the end of the season. And then I got released after that year. And so I was due $8 million on a four-year contract.
Mm-hmm.
And they cut me because they wanted to get younger, and they didn't want to go cheaper. Right. And so they brought in these younger guys who they felt like were going to give them the same production.
How was your speed at that point?
My speed was still great. I was still explosive. I still had my speed. I still had my burst. I didn't lose a step.
Okay.
But they brought in these younger.
And you ran at the combine
four three three.
I know. So if only.
That's Michael
I was still
Vick
explosive.
Yeah.
I was still explosive. And I still could play at a high level. So when I got injured.
And you weren't like punishing between the tackles back?
No. Yeah. No, I was never that. Yeah. Ever in my career, I was never that. And so they cut me because they wanted to get younger and cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they just found a 100-yard rusher this football season.
I know, that's true.
For the first time since me.
So, to
me, what that says is, again, the running back position, for whatever reason, ages faster than any other position on this field. And so if Le'Veon Bell, he got $35 million guaranteed, and I know people look at, well, he would have made more on that franchise tag, right? Which is true, but he would have played on a one-year deal. And so playing on a one-year deal, if you get injured as a running back, he's about to be 27 years old, those things will start to follow him, and it would have been tough for him to get this contract because he has been injured before, and he has had a lot of carries in Pittsburgh.
And a lot of touches.
Yeah, he had a lot of touches, right? Yep. And so I'm glad you made that point because he accounted for about 50% of that production, that offense. Mm-hmm. It was him and Antonio Brown. Mm-hmm. Juju Smith was not what he is right now, right? And so for him, he's looking at this thing like, well, AB just got paid. So now it's my turn to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to box him in as a running back.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, no, wait a minute. I'm more than a running back. I'm the workhorse because I play receiver and running back.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm your workhorse. AB is, for the glitz and glamour. But for me, I'm the guy who's putting in the real work here. So I want to get paid like that. I don't want to get paid like a running back. And what did Pittsburgh do? They wanted to box him into a category as a running back.
Just for perspective, your first few years in New Orleans.
In New Orleans, yes.
How many touches? Like, would you be down the list in total touches?
Yeah, I didn't have a lot of touches in New Orleans because we had multiple running backs.
It kept some years on your life.
I agree.
Right?
Yes. Okay. I agree. It didn't stop me from getting injured, though.
It did.
Right.
Not.
I still got injured.
It's a hard game, man.
It is.
Le'Veon Bell, over his first 5 years, had the second most touches to LeSean McCoy in the National Football League. And then in 2017, his last year that he played, he had the most touches.
Mm-hmm.
So he's taken a lot of punishment and abuse. And I always say this about, I love the Dallas Cowboys and I love Zeke.
Mm-hmm.
He is high collision. He's kind of the flip side of you. Because sometimes Zeke looks for contact.
Yeah.
Like he looks to run through the brick wall.
Yes, he does.
And he will run through it on occasion. And he runs with his heart, man. Mm-hmm. But the rest of you can't take it. You know, you can't take that kind of pounding. So I say his window will close.
I agree.
Pretty quickly.
Well, look what they did to DeMarco Murray.
I know.
Same thing. So,
a lot of touches. High collision.
Got rid of him.
High collision. And we know what happened once upon a time to Earl Campbell where you just can't do that. After a while, you're going to pay for that the rest of your life,
100%,
right? 100%. So with Le'Veon, there's not that much tread left on the tires, which is why I think he lost. If I'd played this for him, if I'd advised him, I'm taking the 14.5 last year because you can't ever recoup that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have played it out, hoped to have a good to very good year.
It's a lot of hope.
I know. But then I think you could have gotten more money because you'd have had a bigger market because now people are looking back like skeptically, like, are you all in? Or do you really want this?
Mm-hmm.
Did you stay in great shape? I kept reading reports, and I have no idea how true they are, that he gained some weight, because you're probably just going to gain weight. He's not a workout warrior like Adrian Peterson is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not like you. I see you in the gym all the time. He still gets after it, right?
You see me in that gym still getting it.
He gets after it every time I see him in the gym. He's like bigger than I think. Because I was at USC, I thought you were like a scat back, but you're –
it's official.
You're
he's watching
her. Yeah.
What did you weigh at USC?
I got the approval.
I don't know. Like
205.
205. So it's not like you're a little guy. It's not like you're 180. Or, you know.
Right.
Okay. So Le'Veon, he finds himself on a market that dwindles down to nothing.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted Le'Veon Bell because they're all a little skeptical.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he was very lucky. The Jets needed some star power. They need a marquee, something to sell.
They need a splash.
Yeah. And he's a splasher. He's going to splash in New York next year.
Yeah.
Will he change their life? No, I don't think so, because I just don't think they're good enough. I'm not sure about the young USC quarterback going in his second year.
I would agree with all of that.
Okay.
Yep. I would agree with all that.
They're in a division owned by Brady and Belichick, so it's going to be hard to compete in that division.
Gase knows all about that division.
What's that?
Adam Gase knows all about that division.
That's a very, very good point. And in the end, Le'Veon, he got an okay deal. And to your point, it's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
And it's second best to Todd Gurley's deal.
Yes. Yeah.
I think New York was bidding against itself because I think they didn't have to give him this deal. I think they gave him this much because they didn't want an unhappy camper. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't just shame him, you know.
I agree.
If you can't just hold him up, you know, and then expect him to come in and be enthusiastic about playing for the Jets.
I agree.
So to me, in the end, he's going to go to a team where he's been used to winning and competing for championships.
Mm-hmm.
Every time he stepped on the field in every August for the Pittsburgh Steelers, you think in your heart of hearts, we got a shot,
the year,
right?
It's going to be the year for him.
Maybe this is the time we break through against Brady and Belichick in the AFC championship game, right? But in this case, he's going to a team that doesn't really have a chance next year that I can see.
Yeah.
So if they get off wrong, if they get off slow, get off cold, I know what he is. He's going to sulk. He's going to pout. He's going to say, what am I doing? Where am I?
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe his thoughts are going to go to his rap career, which I think is dear to his heart. I think he really wants to rap. I mean, he does rap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's on a bigger stage where he can promote that. So I just don't know if he's going to be worth even this much to this team.
The one thing, I just want to go back to one thing you said. You said that, well, he could have played on this one-year deal and hoped for. In the NFL, we can't live on hope. In the NFL, there's contracts and there's business, and that is it. There's no hope of, I hope next year I'm going to make this amount of money. I hope this year, because when the NFL is done with you, you're not getting it back. I don't care what you try to do. You try to unretire. You are not getting it back, right? And Adrian Peterson, one of my good friends, and I love him to death. I studied him while I played in the league. But he is not going to get the respect that, in a contract that he may want for the body of work that he's put in throughout the course of his career, right? I think we can agree on that, right?
Yep.
And so eventually that's going to happen to Le'Veon Bell. Mm-hmm. Everybody gets old in this league. Everybody goes through it, especially running backs. And we get old faster than any other position. For him, getting this kind of money right now at 27 years old, this is a win for him, because we don't get another shot at another contract.
Yep.
This is it.
This is it.
This is his last contract. So it's had to work out for him.
Yep.
He had no choice. This had to work out for him.
Okay. So speaking of New York, another superstar left New York for Cleveland, Odell Beckham Jr. Your
I feel
thoughts
bad for New York right now.
What?
Hey, seriously.
Well, listen, I think the Giants are going to regret this trade. because now defenses can just stack the box. Now it's simple for defenses, right? And I don't know who they're going to get in the draft, who they're going to make a trade for, because they need a quarterback. Mm-hmm. They need some more receivers. They need some players, right? They got Saquon Barkley. And so as a defensive coordinator right now, without going through the draft and whoever else they may get, I'm stacking the box. I'm putting 8 to 9 guys in the box, and I'm making sure the focal point of this offense is Saquon Barkley. Mm-hmm. I need to stop Saquon Barkley. I'm not worried about Eli's arm. I'm not worried about any of these other receivers. Sterling Shepard, I think he's great, but Sterling Shepard, they need other pieces to that
Evan
puzzle.
Evan Ingram, they got.
Evan Ingram. And so right now, to me, this just does not look – I don't know how fans go to the games and how they can be happy. How can they be energetic about what they're going to see, what kind of production mm-hmm. they're going to get. John Dorsey is quickly becoming one of my favorite general managers in the NFL.
He's becoming like an internet hero.
He really is, because from the day he stepped foot on the Cleveland Browns territory, he has done nothing but just sign great players, great talent.
Great players.
And his narrative, he's saying it loud and clear, like, listen, we want to win, and we want to win right now. Mm. And had Baker Mayfield started off the season last year, they would have made it to the playoffs. They 100% would have made it to the playoffs.
Oh, I know. Before the year, I would love another hard knock.
Start him from the start, they're going to make the playoffs.
They would have made the playoffs. And now.
Were they 7-8-1? I think they could have won a couple more games.
Yeah, and now they're going from, I picked them to win the division. Now we're talking about legitimate Super Bowl contenders
for
the Cleveland Browns.
You'd go that far.
I'd go that far, yes.
I'm a little
skeptical. In that division is going to stop Odell, Jarvis Landry, Baker Mayfield, Nick Chubb? Don't forget, they signed Kareem Hunt. They still got Duke Johnson. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They got a lot of players on that team right now.
It's the receiving core in the league.
Yeah. Baltimore Ravens got worse on defense.
They keep getting worse by the day, and they lost C.J. Mosley, and they haven't added anybody, and I don't know what they're doing. So they're out. They are out. I still like Pittsburgh a little better because I'm not sure about Cleveland's defense. I'm just not sure. Yeah. They lost Greg Williams, their coordinator, who I'm a huge fan of.
I love Greg. Greg Williams helped me win the Super Bowl. I love Greg Williams. I love Greg Williams.
That was a big loss for them.
Yes. I remember when Greg Williams came on a recruiting trip to New Orleans, and we walked past each other in the hallway, and I pulled him aside. I said, if you come here, we will win a Super Bowl.
Really?
And sure enough, he signed, and next year he brought this aggressive defensive mentality. It was the one thing we were missing. We had a great offense. We had always had a great offense since my rookie year. But when Greg Williams came in, he brought a defensive mentality that changed our whole team. It changed our franchise. It changed our approach to every game. And we felt like it's us against everybody else. Mm. And we felt like there's nobody that can beat us. Mm. And so I'm a huge Greg Williams fan.
Fortunately, there was a bounty bowl that occurred thanks to Greg Williams.
It was.
You got after Brett Favre, but you got after him.
Yeah, we did.
You know, by hook or crook, you got after him. You won the game. You won the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. So before we let you go, you're going to be doing college football. And I know you've been watching Kyler Murray.
I have, yeah.
Yeah.
Project him. Would you take him first overall? Is he going to be a star, a superstar?
I think when I turn on the film and I watch Kyler Murray, I see a very, very talented quarterback. Forget about the height, right? Because I played with a guy, Drew Brees, who a lot of people said once upon a time he was too short, right? And every time I played with Drew, I never felt like, you know, he was too short. Like I couldn't see him or there was something about his height that affected me.
What are you? What do you say? Are you 6'11"?
I'm 5'11".
5'11"?
Yes.
Was he?
Drew's 6 foot.
I know. Did he feel like he was an inch short?
I never felt like height was an issue because he played big.
Yeah.
And he has a high release point when he throws a football. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so when I turn on the film and I watch Kyler Murray, I see very similar characteristics. I see a guy who can play football, who loves the game, who makes the players around him better.
Yep.
He can extend plays in different ways than Drew Brees and Tom Brady because I truly believe that a lot of these organizations maybe need to go through some kind of divorce counseling because everybody's looking for the next Tom Brady, right? They're looking for the next Peyton Manning, the pocket passer quarterback, but more and more quarterbacks coming out of college football look like Russell Wilson. They play like Colin Kaepernick, right? They play like Aaron Rodgers, who's a scrambler, right? And so Andrew Luck, Carson Wentz, the list goes on. More and more quarterbacks are playing like this. Mm. And so when you have quarterbacks like Kyler Murray coming out of college and he's shorter and he's a more of an elusive style quarterback, this is what we're seeing more and more often of quarterbacks coming out of the league, right? And so the other narrative that I didn't like was how it got somehow to where he's not a leader. You know, he wasn't great on board. I don't understand how from one meeting you can say that a guy is not a leader. Because I need to talk to his coach. Yeah. I need to talk to players. They all say a different tune. They all say, no, this guy loves football.
That is correct.
He is football first. Yeah. He has a lot of potential. And that's the one thing that organizations should be excited about, his potential.
Yeah.
You're right. Well, we agree about that.
Yeah.
Either way, Reggie, good to have
Thank you.
Great
job.
We want to say congrats again about the brand new Fox College Football pregame show. Yep. So it's a busy table. We've got Urban Meyer. We've got Matt Leiner. Ooh, we've got Brady Quinn. Mm-hmm. But I feel like you're going to be fine holding your own.
Right.
That's
exciting.
I think you'll be the star of that game. No mercy.
Well, the Browns made a huge move yesterday by agreeing to trade for Odell Beckham Jr. The Giants will get a first-round pick, a third-round pick, and safety Jabril Peppers. There was one man that predicted this would happen, and that's our very own Jay Glazer, who wrote last month that the Giants would trade Odell. And, hey, Jay, he joins us now.
Hey, it is an honor to have you at the Undisputed Desk.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
Why did you feel so strongly that this would happen?
I have issues, clearly.
No. That's it.
You know what? Look, I don't put things out there unless I know them. I care more about me being 100% right. I'd rather have broken five stories, but I got them all right, than I break more stories than everybody else and I got 5% wrong. So it's important to me. And I put some wild stuff out there, but I want people to know. You watch Fox NFL Sunday, and I say something so outlandish like I did a few years ago that Jim Harbaugh would be out as head coach of the 49ers at the end of the season. Even if they won the Super Bowl, you could take it to the bank. So I'm very conservative of what I put out there, even if it sounds incredibly outlandish.
Do you feel pressure to go a little farther when you don't have it 100%?
No, I've got to have it 100%. That's what I care about most. I don't want to put something out there. And that's my name. That's our responsibility to the other guys on that show as well. Mm-hmm. So when I put this out there, I'd already known that the Giants made their mind up. Huh. I put it as a prediction, but the Giants had a conversation literally about a week beforehand that they were going to move on from Odell. And
Ownership involved in the decision?
Ownership was involved? Yeah, obviously. So last year, during the season, teams were calling the Giants to try to trade for Odell. And when it got to ownership, I think Mr. Tisch, most notably, they kind of said, not ready to do that. Okay. And by the way, last year before the season, the Giants were looking like they were going to move on. Pat Shurmur came in and saved him. Said, no, I got him. I can get him on board with me. I want this talent. I want him here. Then a lot of things happen during the year. He does the interview with Lil Wayne and you know all that. And then it just kind of goes downhill. And at the end of the year, when he pulled his quad, he wasn't even there. They were just like, hey, just hang out over here. Don't worry. And all of a sudden, they started playing well. So I think after that, they just – look, there's nothing wrong with Odell. Great kid. Incredible work ethic. Great teammate.
Sure.
But sometimes, it's like a marriage that your passion's just gone. It's just time to move on. Let's just be friends and write each other letters and, check in each other's new families. It's kind of how it went. But in the end here, when the Giants ownership – blocked it during the season, when they met about a week before I put out that prediction, they were all on board. Okay, it's time to move on. It just became too much.
Okay.
I'd like to say.
Yeah.
So just for the record, before they gave him the biggest wide receiver deal in the league, I said there's no way I'm going to commit that much money to that guy who's had that many issues in New York City.
Right.
And they did. And that's the bigger shock of this to me is they gave him his money, and it was just a year ago. Then what changed? Because the only thing that really happened last year that I know of was the Lil Wayne ESPN interview. And he said some things about Eli, coaching staff.
And New York.
Right. And I want to be in L.A., all the above.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that just burned the bridge to the ground.
It wasn't just that. If you go look at the Giants, they got the worst body language of any team out there. Yeah. Every time something happens with Eli, Odell, and now he leaks into the other receivers, they do this. It's a pity party over there. And, look, their offensive line was terrible. They had a lot more issues going into the year than we thought. They brought in Nate Solder. They got Saquon. Everybody thought, okay, great. This team's going to be terrific. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why they have the second pick of the draft the year before that. There's a lot of holes they had to fill. But again, they were, the owners' meeting, which is coming up upon us, last year's owners' meeting, John Mara had some pretty, strict things to say about Odell then.
He did.
Right? Yeah. And that's this, so it shouldn't come as
remember,
such a surprise.
Remember, that was after the Paris hotel room incident, remember?
The Paris hotel?
Yeah.
Paris was in L.A.?
Some which pizza, was, some
Paris.
Makeup.
Oh, that was Paris? Oh, I thought it was here in L.A.
It was abroad.
No, okay. It was Paris.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff that was going on.
There was a lot of stuff in there.
And, you know, like I said, Pat Shurmur, head coach, comes in, and Pat's like, yeah. Look, I understand the issues. Because back then, too, we talked a lot of teams. When I was talking to the Giants, I'm like, this is your time to get, you know, as much as you possibly can before more things can come out or more drama or more, because if you guys don't do well this year, there's going to be more drama. So I think Odell's trade value would have been higher last year than it was this year.
So it still looks like to me that they just undid an admitted big mistake that they made giving the contract out. Yeah. We want to get out from under it. Is that fair to say?
Yes. I think it was.
I don't know.
For them, it was addition by subtraction.
Do they share the blame for that contract? Should everybody, including Dave Gettleman, have to
absolutely
be accountable?
Absolutely. You know, look, you've got to, you know, put value on. I think they put value on best possible scenario instead of all the scenarios.
So now Odell goes to Cleveland, and I read that
they did Hard Knocks 1 year too early, didn't they?
I was going to say, can we do it again? I want to watch this year.
But I read or have heard that that was his first choice because of Jarvis Landry, that they're so close that now he's got his soulmate back. Yeah, he's reunited.
Well, that I think L.A. would have been his wanted to go. But being with Jarvis, yes. But also, here's the thing. Baker Mayfield's a gangster. Right.
He is.
Those two guys aren't going to run over Baker Mayfield. He's not going to be able to tell him, hey, I was open. They're not going to do that. Baker Mayfield is different. And the type of guy that I think will fit in perfectly with those two guys, he's not going to sit there and get rattled in the huddle if he's not throwing the ball enough to somebody. Mm-hmm. He'll check them, put them both in their place. I think team-wise, personnel-wise, this is actually the perfect place for Odell to go to because he needs somebody like that.
Mm. How good do you see the Browns being? What's their ceiling this year?
Well, look. We trained the Browns last year for a month in our MMA program.
Okay.
So myself, Randy Couture, Chuck Liddell, all of us went out there for a month in Cleveland and trained them.
Wow.
And day one, and these guys don't know much about football, they saw Baker and they're like, that guy's a little different, isn't he? And gangsters understand gangsters. You know, they reckon, not me, those guys.
Okay.
But that's all on offense. But the guy in last year, the most athletic, strongest dude who's ever put his hands on us.
Got it.
Was Miles Garrett.
Garrett.
Oh, my God. He was.
Wow.
And we've trained Jadeveon Clowney and Clay Matthews and just a million of these guys over the years. Michael Bennett, whoever. This guy has the potential to be a future Hall of Famer. Incredibly disruptive on that side of the ball. So defensively, they have a lot going for them also there. That team is putting together some really good building blocks. And offensively, look, I think this league is going to get to where you're going to have to play catch-up with teams like the Kansas City Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
That's where this league is going, right? Mm-hmm. Because all the rules, and the Browns are doing exactly that.
Would you give them the edge over Pittsburgh right now?
Oh, yeah.
Would you? Okay. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Okay.
It seems like so many personalities wouldn't work, but when you put it that way,
don't forget,
they all gel,
yes,
it makes sense.
Don't forget also, they still have Kareem Hunt. If he can get out of his own way
and
what's your
back
guess
in,
on the suspension?
I have no idea. I don't know because they're still, I don't know that yet.
Too early. Okay, we have a lot more to get to with you, Jay. So good to have you with us. Skips Cowboys, we got to talk about it.
We do.
Le'Veon Bell, all the free agency moves that's coming next.
No mercy.
Now, rumors have been flying that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving will be a package deal when they are expected to hit free agency this offseason. The most popular rumor destination? The Knicks. But Charles Barkley doesn't think that's a good idea. He was asked what advice he would give Durant if he asked him about signing with the Knicks, and he didn't hold back. Barkley said, quote, "You ain't tough enough to play in New York. I don't think Durant or Kyrie are tough enough to play in New York. Kyrie's a very good player. Kevin's a great, great player. But I'm not sure they have the mental makeup to play in New York. Those guys are complaining about the media asking questions. But maybe New York isn't for them." We're joined once again by Michael Rappaport. Michael, do you agree with Barkley here?
I don't agree with Barkley in the long term. Now, I am frustrated with Kyrie complaining about the press.
Sure.
We didn't know you spoke to LeBron James. That was a private conversation. You chose to share that.
Right.
No one knew about that. Nope. I speak to you, I speak to you. No one knows about this.
True.
Okay, so you brought that on yourself. So when the media wants to talk to you, maybe we don't know who else have you spoken to. Have you spoken to KD? Did you speak to Rod Strickland? Who have you spoken to? That being said, we as New York Knicks fans, we've never had two champions. The last time we've had players play for the Knicks that had rings and things is the great Willis Reed and those guys. Amari Stoudemire, a very good player. We knew he had an injury. Inevitably, we in our hearts, we knew that just wasn't going to get it done. Carmelo Anthony, no rings and things. So these guys, they've played on the biggest stages. It's the mecca of basketball. It's the city's game. We know they can get it done on the court. And I think that although they have both been sensitive, particularly this year, the New York fans, we come out in droves. And there hasn't been a highlight out of New York this season. The biggest highlight was James Dolan ejecting and banning a fan. That's the highlight of the season.
That's true.
That's the only thing. We haven't there's been no highlights. Mm-hmm. Is this guy, this little guy with the funny teeth, banning a fan who paid. That's the only highlight we have. So I think we have a 2-year grace period. I think that the New York and the New York media will be so happy.
So you're saying they would take it easy on them? Fans and media.
Well, the fans, we're going to just be happy. Uh-huh. To see two guys out there putting up points and all that stuff, that we haven't had like excitement like that. And I think the media, they're going to do well. If they both come and they're going to do well, and I think it'll take at least two seasons before people start breaking their chops.
Okay.
Kyrie, I don't know what you're talking about. You don't. He seems like he doesn't want to be talked to, win, lose, or draw. You got to figure that out. Durant will be fine. Kyrie, just like, whoever you're speaking to, don't bring it up, okay? But in the short term, 2 years, we'll be fine. We'll win more games. We'll improve. There'll be excitement. There'll be highlights other than James Dolan throwing out fans. So my answer, long-winded answer, is I think that we will be fine if we get those two guys. And I'm praying, please come to New York. Yeah. Please.
Okay, that's the fan perspective, just so people know. You work for the New York Times, and you covered the Knicks and the Nets, so you know what of you speak. You know you are inside the New York media covering basketball.
Yeah, and look, I do tend to agree that, especially with the fans, there will be a year or two grace period where, assuming, and they would, if Kyrie and KD go there, they would certainly be a really good team. They wouldn't be expecting championship or coming down on them if they didn't win a championship for at least a year and maybe two, right?
Yes.
So it'd be 2 or 3 years before they really jumped on them. As far as the New York media, when I was the beat writer, that was early days of the internet. The internet wasn't what it was now. And the New York media was so different from media anywhere else. LA, Chicago, the only thing even close was Philadelphia. But New York media, with the sensationalism, with the back pages, It was aggressive, and players had a hard time dealing with it. Now, though, it's New York is still the top, but with the internet now, sensationalism has been brought all over the country, and even where no matter where you're at, you're still catching heat.
You're in it.
You know, it's all over. You know, you catch heat no matter where you are. Maybe not quite to the extent of New York, but you do catch heat. Now, to answer Barkley's question, both of them obviously have rabbit ears. Both of them obviously are sensitive, and I would not recommend that either one of them go there by yourself.
No, for sure.
No, do not go, because you won't win big, and then you will catch heat.
Be on you, okay.
But I do think if they go together, or one of them went with Anthony Davis or whatever, if they go with two stars, they'll be fine. These two guys, Kyrie, let's look at him. Kyrie just did a big mea culpa piece with Yahoo, where he said, I was wrong for the way I've handled things. I apologize. We know he apologized to LeBron. Like, I got to be honest. I'm looking at Kyrie, and I'm thinking, this is a young guy. He's only 26. He's still learning. He's not above saying, I get it now. I didn't get it then. I think he kind of said, look, I don't like the way the media handles things, but I kind of get it. I understand it now. So I think he's open to learning, and I think if he gets to New York, he'll kind of be like, look, this kind of comes with the territory. I was wrong initially in Boston. I think he can adapt. And KD and Kyrie, look, they're sensitive. You can say what you want about them them clapping back at people and complaining. The good thing, though, it doesn't impact their play.
Not at all.
Like, some players can't hear all this stuff and play at the top of their game.
Sure.
KD can hear it, be upset, go off on the media. He texts me sometimes if he doesn't like something I said, and we'll go back and forth. But it doesn't impact this game.
Not at all.
He still goes out there and balls. And the same with Kyrie. Through all the ups and downs this season, he has still been a great player, probably his best season individually. So even if they are in New York and at times they go into a shell and they go off on the media at times, they still will bring it. And so I do think for all their issues, they can handle New York. Mm.
For one, actually, a couple times lately, I have agreed with Charles Barkley on this show, which is shocking.
It's been weird.
This time, he is completely wrong about this, and almost naively wrong. He is missing the boat on both these guys. To your point, I'm going to triple down on what you just said. In all my time of covering or closely observing superstars, the thinnest skinned superstar ever to me is Kevin Durant. And Kyrie's starting to threaten that. He's starting to challenge him. They are both social media victims to me because they read it and they respond to it and they let it go inside them. And it doesn't not only affect them, does it not hurt their play, it fuels their play. They both thrive on this. They would both thrive together. I agree with your together point. In New York, they would constantly be at war with the media. There'd be nights they wouldn't talk. They'd clap back in big, you know, group interviews. They'd be all over the media. They would fight the media. They would actually try to put the media back in its place.
But they're not good at it also. Neither one of them are good clappers.
They're not adept.
They're not good ranters. They don't talk good trash. Neither one of them are.
I have to help them out.
Yeah, but you know what I mean?
And Kevin Durant actually had burner accounts. It's like, what?
Kevin Durant?
Right.
But
what?
You know who the media does love and who is good with the media? Coach Fizdale. He handles it good. He's got a personality. He's fair. He's firm. He knows when to be tough. He'll rant when he needs to. So I think if they came to New York, they'll do their little things, but I don't think it's as big as impact as people say, because number one, it doesn't affect their play. And I think New York will get off on it. And the fans, to see that kind of craziness in the Garden every single night and what they do, and I mean craziness as far as their skills, there will be elation. There will be sincere elation. That's New York basketball. Like, they'll be adored and loved by the fans every single night. So what? They make some weird rants and comments. We'll take it.
Okay, what did Kevin do? Kevin had the weight of the NBA world on his shoulders going into the first finals with Golden State against LeBron. Mm-hmm. And what did he do? The NBA was the world's waiting for him to fall on his face. He left Russell Westbrook and joined forces with Steph and Clay and Draymond. And what did he do? He won MVP, and then he backed it up by winning MVP again.
I'm not worried
about
him.
Come on, man.
I'm not worried about him.
Kyrie hit the shot of shots.
He's
game
ridiculous.
Seven at Oakland.
Yeah. We deserve it. Okay? Yep. This is the city game. We need basketball. These guys are beautiful players.
You know what?
Come
those
to New York, guys.
Those two guys get what it would mean to you for them to win a championship.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Imagine we split it. Both of them on the Empire State Building. Two. It would be gorgeous. Kevin Durant, thin shoulders. Empire State Building's long and high. It would be just beautiful. Come to New York.
Like banner.
Yeah. What
would,
are we doing?
That would reach the top.
Oh, light them up. Kyrie. I mean, he plays like a New York City street ball player. Like
his
all that stuff.
His dad's from New York City.
Oh. The Statue of Liberty would be like.
Oh, the Statue of Liberty. Wouldn't even be thinking about Odell Beckham.
They haven't had a player as exciting as Kyrie in New York since Earl the Pearl. Whew. That type of game, that type of street game.
Does anybody remember Earl the Pearl?
Right.
You should.
Oh, man. Yeah. It was Kyrie. I mean, he does
and
stuff that they
there.
Do in the park. I mean, it would be beautiful.
It was 1973.
Yes.
That's the last championship.
Yikes.
Rolls-Royce backcourt.
We need this for you, Mike.
Oh, please. And it's not just me. The fans. Yeah. The fans in the cheap seats need it. They deserve it. We've been through too much. We got an owner who's throwing out fans during games, banning them.
Yes. Mm.
The same goons he sent after my guy Charles Barkley, he sent after
Oakley.
A fan,
Oakley.
A Charles Oakley.
Yeah.
Those same goons.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Okay.
Well, there's one guy who needs those two worse. He's playing here in L.A.
I think
you want them in L.A. more than New York, don't you? Those two.
It would just be fun. It would be more fun for me, but I'm not a Knicks fan.
Skip.
Well, seriously.
I think it would be fun if those two go to New York and AD gets traded to the Lakers.
Listen, AD is not enough for LeBron at this stage of his career. It's not enough.
They might be able to get Jimmy Butler with him.
You know, the only thing you'd have going is that Kevin is no longer in the Bay Area.
That'd be good.
Right? Okay, that would be help.
Open. That would
help. Yeah, well, LeBron, yeah, give him Kevin, give him AD. He needs like 17 people with him. He needs like, he can't do it. He needs like 50. He's the greatest player in the world. He needs the entire All-Star roster with him. Hey. Klay Thompson, send down Steph. LeBron needs him too.
LeBron took over a game in Chicago in MJ's house last night.
He dominated last night.
Doing
I noticed you
dunks.
Didn't put that on the top.
Yeah, worth
in Chicago was so dominant. 19-50 for the year, right? Yeah. 19
something
and
to really be proud of.
Really
big
proud
win
of
last Lakers.
Night.
Any win is good.
Honestly, at least any they got one at this point.
No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Monday for another week of Undisputed. We'll see you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.